So I'm thankful for the opportunity to preach this morning. Several years ago, I was studying in Galatians chapter 5, and I have a series of messages that I've preached before in Galatians chapter 5 on the fruit of the Spirit. And that's where we're going to live this morning, and revisited those messages and revamped them and tweaked them. No, I didn't get them online, so that's what people think. You got a computer, so you're just reading straight from, you know, a Sermon Central. That's a popular website, by the way, Sermon Central. No, but I didn't, and it's just that I have to write it all out. But if you will, let's take your Bible and turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, and starting in verse 13. Let's all stand as we read the Word of God this morning. Galatians 5, starting in verse 13, and we'll end in verse 25. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Why? And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Hey, against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You may be seated. Many teach and preach. I've heard many people preach and teach that everybody possesses some attributes of the fruit of the Spirit, as if they were given as talents or gifts from God. But the gifts described in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 from the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit are two separate items, entities. But all flow through the same Spirit. So today we're going to focus in on the fruit of the Spirit. And in this chapter, we're going to focus in on one key thing, which are the fruit of the Spirit, which are found here in Galatians 5. But I think you would agree with me this morning that there are a lot of people who claim Christianity, who know the fruit of the Spirit as they are expressed in this chapter, but they do not walk in the Spirit. I had someone tell me once before that God really, really prefers the fruit of the Spirit over a bunch of religious nuts. And that's the truth, isn't it? Our world has enough religious nuts roaming around to stamp out starvation. But there are very few, listen to me, there are very few that are born into the Spirit that actually progress in their faith past their first step as a new believer in Christ. Earlier in Galatians chapter 5, Paul states in that verse, "This I say then." What's he say? Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. So how can an individual, here's the objective of this message this morning. Here's the crux of the message. The question, the challenge to you this morning is this. How can an individual walk in the Spirit? How does an individual walk in the Spirit? How can an individual bear this fruit that Paul is talking about here in Galatians chapter 5? Well, the first point is this. You have to know Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. You have to know Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. And hey, to the believer, this is obvious, right? However, listen, many people in our churches today are trying to walk in the Spirit when they've never truly been gloriously saved by the grace of God. John chapter 3 and verse 5 says, Jesus answered and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13 says, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth." What's the truth? The gospel of your salvation. What happened after I heard the truth, after the gospel, in whom also, after that, ye believed. And after I believed, he says, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. In Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." Listen, if you're saved this morning, there is a yearning grafted upon your heart of every believer here this morning. The Holy Spirit calling out, Abba, Father. That word Abba, in its Aramaic meaning, its origin, means Father. But it is a much more intimate meaning. Abba speaks of intimacy, tenderness, dependence, security and confidence in the Father's loving care. It is a term of endearment. It indicates a deep longing for our Heavenly Father. Spurgeon well said, He said this. He said, adoption, I love this. Adoption gives us the rights of children. Regeneration gives us the nature of children. We are partakers of both of these, but by the Holy Spirit. They are such heavenly sounds, nobody can cry, Abba, Father, but by the Holy Spirit. No one. They are such heavenly sounds as only the twice born, the truly saved of God can ever utter, Abba, Father. Words that even move the heart of the eternal God. So when we are born again, our Father who art in heaven is a prayer that is never forced upon us, but rises up naturally when the newborn nature, with that newborn nature. And because we are born again, we cry, Abba, Father. Man, if you're saved this morning, you have that yearning in your heart. There is a natural desire to cry out to God this morning. But that's only for the saved. You say, Brother Lee, I don't have that desire. And something needs to be evaluated. I pray that the Holy Spirit this morning is knocking upon your heart's door. I know and have known, listen, some people that can outwardly display several attributes of the fruit of the Spirit. I know that you have experienced that yourself as well. I mean, they look the part, right? They are pretty faithful in church sometimes. They're clean cut. They're clean language. They're kind to others and they're compassionate even. I mean, I've known some lost people that display more compassion for others than a lot of church members that show up every time the doors open. And that's the truth. That's sadly the truth. They're hard workers. Sometimes they just step in when they're needed. But that's where it stops. That's where it stops. It all looks good on the surface, but in the end, it's nothing more than counterfeit fruit. How many of you have ever seen, I know you have, you've seen some very good likenesses of fruit in a wax bowl of fruit? I've seen some. I mean, you walk into a Kirkland's or something like that, which I don't go into Kirkland's all the time, all right? I get drug into Kirkland's sometimes. But you walk into Kirkland's, you see that fruit, and the apple looks like an apple. It looks so good, you just want to pick it up and eat it. And the orange looks like an orange, and the banana looks like a banana. And you see all that, and it looks right. But it doesn't matter how good it looks on the outside. The inside is dead, and it is empty. And all their good works are sown in vain. They've never truly accepted Christ as their Savior. Maybe you're here this morning and this categorizes you. You may fool a lot of people here this morning, but you will not fool God. So we know you have to be truly born again to walk in the Spirit. You have to possess the Spirit. The question is your fruit counterfeit this morning? Are you dead and empty inside? So we know we have to trust in the Lord as our personal Savior. Point number two. There should be a fervent relationship with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There should be a fervency in your relationship with God. James chapter 5 and verse 16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And then he says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Romans chapter 12 and verse 11 says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And Acts chapter 18 in verses 24 and 25 says, and a certain Jew named Apollos, born of Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. I love this. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and listen to this, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. Mighty in the scriptures, but being fervent in the spirit. If you've been born again, then you have a relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The key word here in point number two is the word fervent. The word fervent has a meaning of extremely hot. How hot? Melting hot. Boiling hot. Hot to the point of glowing hot. Sadly, too many of us as Christians can get boiling hot over everything but our own relationship with God. Listen, I'm not preaching just to you this morning. I'm preaching to myself this morning. So many times I can get so worked up in everything around me but my relationship with Him. We tune in to the NFBB Sports Network. What's the NFBB? NASCAR, football, baseball, basketball. All right. That's the South. That's the four for the South. That's what I got, you know. NASCAR, football, baseball, basketball. I never will forget. Last year. Y'all won't either. I'm sorry to bring this up. We're watching the World Series championship. And Arkansas was playing Oregon State. And we said, hey, let's have everybody over. I mean, we got the house clean. We had the chicken wings out. We had everything prepared right. World Series. And we got so worked up for that game. And we were just one out away from a national championship. And we dropped the ball. And I never will forget me going berserk. And my wife had that on video, and I thought about sharing that this morning, but I think it'd blow the whole message. But I promise you it would illustrate the point. I mean, we clean the house. We fix a grand, fabulous meal. We make preparations for the big event. We work fervently to make sure everything is just right. Shout through the TV as if the people on the other end can hear anything you're saying. Some of you may not be into sports. Some of you may be into hunting, right? Well, I've done enough hunting. I guess you could get lucky every now and then. But if you're going to be a good hunter, you're going to have to make sure your preparations are made. right? You just don't roll out of bed, stinky, right? Because the deer can smell. I mean, we wash our clothes in the washing machine with no scent deodorant, you know, detergent, and we make sure everything is just right. We've been placing corn out in the feeders for weeks and weeks, 40-pound sacks. Amen. Walking that thing out through the woods. Some of you may have four-wheelers. Filling them feeders up. Getting ready. Amen. Preparation. Scout out where the animals are moving. We get our guns sighted in. Food plots are set in place. The game cameras are all functioning properly. We know what time they're coming in. We know what they're going to... Hey, we know what's there. Right? We camp out the night before. Get up when 90% of the world is still in bed. Are you hearing me? We can get fervent about a lot of things in our life. I'm just as guilty. Right? Nothing wrong with any of that. But sometimes when we set our priorities so fervently on other things, but we're so frivolous with our relationship with God. Maybe your fervency surrounds money. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's music. Maybe it's TV. Maybe it's the movies. We are all fervent in something. In something. But what aspect of your life are you fervent in? Are you fervent in your relationship with God? Are you fervent in the Spirit this morning? So listen to this illustration. The prayer for an average Christian, prayer time for an average Christian, okay? I started jotting down some numbers and thinking about this. And there's 24 hours in a day. Let's just say the average person gets 8 hours of sleep per day. I know some of you probably don't, you get less than that. I get it. But let's say 8 hours. I know some of you probably getting 12 and 15. Especially now that school's out, I know some of you. The average person gets 8 hours a day of sleep. That leaves about 16 hours for production in your life. 16 hours. 16 hours broken down into minutes is 960 minutes in your productive day. You say, well, what would qualify a fervent relationship with my Lord? Well, I said, well, let's equate it to tithe. 10%. Let's say 10%. 10% of my productive day to God, that's 96 minutes. I venture to say that very, very, very few of us are spending 10% of our productive day with God. 96 minutes. So that, all right. It's probably more like, let's cut it in half, 5%. 5% of my productive day to God, well, that'd be 48 minutes. Well, I would dare to say that I don't think we're spending 5% on average. There's probably some. But what about 3%? What's that look like? Well, that's 28 minutes a day. Now we're getting somewhere, right? What about 1% of my productive day? It's 10 minutes. 10 minutes. But truthfully, if you look at the national average, it's less than 0.5%. It's about 5 minutes a day. 5 minutes a day. And we want to walk in the Spirit. We want to be Spirit-led Christians. 5 minutes a day. Commit to give God preeminence in your life. Priority in your life. We live in a world where we have got so many things coming and going. Listen, I live in the same world. Coming and going, coming and going. And priorities are always shifting. They're everywhere. But listen to me. Give God preeminence. Make sure He's up here in your priorities. If you're saved and a child of God, don't you think your relationship with Him would be one of fervency? So if we're going to walk in the Spirit, we must truly be born of the Spirit. We must have a fervent relationship with our Heavenly Father. And number three, we need to walk in obedience to God's will for your life. Walk in obedience to God's will for your life. When is the last time God clearly spoke to you about what He would have you to do? Did you do it? If he's told you something, did you do it? Or maybe you said, not right now, Lord. You know, we've just got so much going on right here that it can't be your will to do that. I've got just too much going on right now. I mean, Lord, you would make provision if that was something you needed me to do. Maybe you're saying, God has never asked me to do anything. Well, if that's true, listen, something is very wrong. And you need to really evaluate points one and two. Because three is a result of a Christian walking in the Spirit. God commands us to be doers. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 16, He says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, His servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." Whatever is your priority is what He's saying here. That's what you're going to serve. James chapter 1 and verse 22 says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." We come to church these days to be entertained. What can the singers do for me? What can somebody else do for me? Hey, it's a privilege to be able to come to church and do for others. Minister to others. This church has a fantastic track record of workers. I'm telling you right now, we have some fantastic workers. You don't believe me? You stick around for another 2 months and you see how many workers it takes to run that children's department. And the things we've got going on with youth and children. And it is phenomenal, the stuff and the activities that they do. We don't do it for our health, right? Lord knows that. But we're doers of the word. Matthew chapter 7, 21 says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the heaven, into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Luke chapter 6 verse 46. "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" I find it interesting here in the scripture as I was reading through this again yesterday, I said, you know, it's interesting that in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, and Christ is our Lord and Savior, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. But also in Luke chapter 6, and why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? It's interesting that we can have a world out here that can profess Christ, but not confess Christ. He never uses the example, why call ye me Abba, Father? There's many people that can call Him Lord, Lord. But only the saved have a yearning to cry out, Abba, Father. Two different views. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, and we know that all things work together for good that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9 says, for to do this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether you be obedient in all things. There's emphasis here on being a doer. John says in 14:21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Dwight L. Moody said it well when he said this. Happiness is caused by things that happen around me, and circumstances will mar it, but joy flows right on through trouble. Joy flows on through the dark. Joy flows in the night as well in the day. Joy flows all through persecution and opposition. It is an unceasing fountain bubbling up in the heart, a secret spring the world can't see and doesn't know anything about. The Lord gives His people perpetual joy when they walk in obedience to Him. Well, that was well said, wasn't it? It may be a struggle. It may mean some priority shifting in your life. But God has a great joy for you in serving Him this morning. There is a call to action in the life of every believer. Will you be obedient to His call this morning? I hope I'm not too long-winded. But listen, there's, as I stated earlier, there's very few people that walk in the Spirit as we should. There's very few Christians that truly walk in the Spirit as God meant us to do it. That's one aspect of this chapter. But I think that's very, very important to understand, to evaluate those three things in our life this morning. Have you been truly saved by the grace of God? If so, how's your relationship with Him? Is it just a Sunday morning relationship? Sometime Sunday night, maybe Wednesday relationship? Or is it an everyday relationship? Is there a yearning in your heart crying out, Abba, Father? If there is, has God talked to you this morning about His will for your life? Are you in obedience to what He's having you do this morning? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You so much, God, for the opportunities that we've had to come and worship You this morning. That we live in a country where we can worship You freely. God, I pray that You will impress upon the hearts of each and every person here. Nothing that I've said, God, that put me behind the cross this morning. But God, the Word of God has spoken to someone here this morning. I pray, God, that You will just let Your Holy Spirit move. God, I pray that You, if there are those here that don't know You, I pray that the Holy Spirit will knock upon their door this morning. God, that we can take some time and take the challenge to reevaluate our relationship with You. And what will You would have us to do? We ask all these things in Your Son's name. Amen.